702 and Cape Talk. World of Work.
And a couple of you have already tweeted and said, please podcast today's segment of World of Work. I want to be able to listen, Eusebius, but I'm very keen to understand the connections between and the impact that artificial intelligence in particular is having and how it's changing the rules of the game when it comes to the human capital market. So we're going to do exactly that. This will be of interest to you if you are a job seeker, if you are an executive that has been charged by your board and colleagues to be scouting for talent and to retain them, hopefully, as well after managing to lure them to your company, and or maybe you're just an HR executive who has to execute that particular strategy and their traditional ways of recruiting. And then there's the ways in which every aspect of our lives have been changed by AI, and recruiting is no different. And we're going to be hanging out for the next half an hour or so with Zanele Lufuno. I want to apologize to her profusely, even though she's always, always very generous and kind and smiling and looking as gorgeous as ever. We are taking liberties by starting the show longer, and she is a very busy professional. So first and foremost, Zanele, thank you for being here, and sorry that we're starting late.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's always great to be here.
I was fascinated just by the selection of the topic, because we have previously spoken about how our listeners, and put some of them through their paces in real time on air, can improve their prospects of getting a job, such as the traditional CV, for example, and that kind of thing. Where does this topic come from?
I think in the last couple months, a lot of the activity that we've been seeing and a lot of the issues and problems that we've been seeing in the talent space, in our clients' business, in unemployment, and everything that's going on in South Africa, has kind of led us down a path, which has gotten us as a business, as Transcend, incorporating AI, as the only means and solution to so many of the problems. And so everywhere we're turning, clients are saying, what is the AI solution for this problem? Is there an AI solution for this problem? As a human being, I'm no longer able to find a conclusion to this particular problem or a great solution. So everybody's looking at AI right now. Everybody's looking at the best solutions. We want better, quicker, faster ways to deal with the issue of talent.
So map for me where we're going to go after the news headlines break. Are we talking here both about the fear that AI may displace jobs as a result of automation? Or are we also going to talk about, because this is the bit that really made me go, oh my God, I'm glad I already have a job, how folks like yourself might use AI to come and spy on us and you collect data that you can also use to make judgment calls about recruitment?
None of the above. I think the most amazing thing, so like everybody else, I was terrified of AI, but it's been phenomenal in our business and our clients' business. AI takes out the human factor. So now there's a kid that's sitting in Googs that could potentially be given a job and an opportunity somewhere, but his accent potentially doesn't resonate with the person interviewing him. AI can assess potential. It can assess performance. It takes out all of that human bias, and suddenly there's a world of opportunity opened up. In a country like South Africa, I think it's the perfect solution.
I'm excited. I'm sure you are as well. If you have questions, give us a call, 011-883-0702. Have you already incorporated artificial intelligence in your own methodology as an expert in this field who is charged with recruitment? Maybe you want to share with us how it has worked, how it hasn't worked. If you have questions as well for Zanele, you can call us throughout in Cape Town on the number 021-446-0567. A couple of obvious practical questions we're going to deal with shortly. Well, what exactly do we mean by artificial intelligence? And in terms of what is in the toolkit for recruiters, how will this change the business of the human capital?
702 and Cape Talk. World of Work.
Indeed, and a fantastic topic, so interesting. A lot of people already intrigued by it. We're talking about artificial intelligence. What will be its impact in terms of changing the rules of the game when it comes to the human capital market? Lauren, Shedrick, I'm going to take your guys' call in a second. I just want to give the awesome Zanele a chance to put a bit more flesh onto the bones regarding this topic. So can we be just more precise and practical about this, Zanele? So what does this mean for the recruitment toolkit. I am, and I don't have a counter argument to what you are saying. It's not just the devil's advocate in me. I'm always curious about how much faith we sometimes have in AI to be bias-free and value-neutral, because when we deal with numbers and computers and stuff, we always think, oh, well, a program is spewing out that I must recruit, if my name is Bonang, five gay men. Well, it's not by coincidence that we have a code that was looking for five fabulous darlings to be your handbags, if you know what I mean. So how is bias reduced, and what exactly are we talking about just in terms of, like, processes?
So I think, and I'll go back to our journey.
Sorry, Bonang.
And I'll go back to our particular journey. So our clients in the grad space, and I'll use the grad space because it's a great space. It's where we've got a lot of unemployment and in our particular country, and also in areas where it's new jobs, right? New skills where there's not enough of them. Hmm. So you're sitting as a country in a situation where there are particular skill sets that there's not enough of. Everybody's trying to grow. Everybody's trying to build their organization. So what are you going to do as a company? So the one thing you can do is start to say, how can I start to grow this particular talent? Mm. Accepting and understanding that the skill doesn't exist, right? But how do you then, from a pool of people that don't have those particular skills, decide who has the potential to be able to do this, right? And that's, I don't think AI solves everything. I don't think it fixes everything, but I think that there's certain areas and spaces. And I'm going to use my example and where we've kind of tested out. I think it can really, really, it can work really well. If you take the call center industry, for instance, they're trying to get more black youth into the call center industry. The call center industry is very, very difficult, but it's great because it's an entry level place for young black people to get into the workspace. But a lot of it services international. So there's linguistic issues. There is, you know, if you an outbound call center selling a financial product, in New Zealand, can you think of how many issues Sipho Inumlazi is going to have as an outbound call center agent? But what AI does, and we have a pre-assessment tool in our particular AI, and it uses all the different sciences, so behavioral, it uses epigenetics, a whole bunch of other different sciences, some elements of psychology. And what it does is that it looks to say, Sipho has the potential. Sipho's never done this, but Sipho, according to these and these and these markers, has the potential to do this kind of job. And you then know as an organization what interventions that you can put into place in order to be able to do that. So what the bias it takes out is that it's not Eusebius or Zanele deciding that, looking at Sipho, that if I put him through this course, Sipho should come out right and fixed and he should actually be able to do the job. And then poor Sipho, who is very, very high on empathy and awful on maybe grit, right? Should not be in an outbound call center. He's very high in empathy and should actually be in an inbound call center and soothing people who've got issues with their mobile handsets, right? So it's those types of things.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Look, my concern is not fundamental. I don't want to belabor it. I hear you. It has to be used. It's another tool, and we can make AI work for ourselves. My concern may or may not turn out to be a big one over time, but we've got to use it. And instead of rejecting stuff by being overly contrarian, we've got AI, let's see what we can do with it. If I take an historical comparison of why I did have a concern, a small one, about bias not always being eliminated perfectly, even from an algorithm for that matter. I think, for example, how IQs and aptitudes test we'd always taken as fairly unemotional, rational ways to try and gauge potential. But it took a while before it became orthodoxy to accept that IQ tests are culturally biased, for example. But before we had that wisdom that these tests have implicit biases in them, we often accepted that wisdom. I mean, I was watching, I love Carte Blanche, so this is not a diss of them, but they had a feel-good insert in one of their recent programs where they were talking about childhood geniuses. And I thought to myself, there we go again. So without interrogating it, it was just a feel-good end-of-the-show kind of story, we immediately think that the little kid, including in this case a poor black kid, by the way, who is very agile with numbers, is going to be our prototype of what it means to be a genius. So that's what I mean by biases can creep in, even unintentionally.
So standardized testing is absolutely a no-no. What is normal for me, Zanele, in Sandton is not normal for me, Zanele, in Umlazi. And that is, it can work in a UK, but can you imagine being a multinational? You're looking to hire in South Africa, and Zanele from Umlazi has to write the same test as Mark from Manchester. So we all agree that it doesn't work. But with AI, if you're using the right tools, and here where I think it's really, really important, the science behind the way you work has got to be solid. The science behind it, and has got to understand context, environment. The science behind what we do, it's a band of scientists. The guy comes from Stellenbosch. They're now a band of scientists. They're global, but he comes from South Africa. He understands what happens in the South African context. So the science of it becomes incredibly important.
100%. Put on your headphones for me.
And ruin my hair.
I don't want to say it and be told that I, with another guest, who was like, you see, CBS, come on, I'm more than my hair. So now I no longer say that, but you've said it and ruin your lovely hair. Lauren, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I've actually just dialed in. It's such an interesting topic. So I'm coming from a slightly different angle, and that is when we advise the children of today what they should be studying, perhaps they look at the skill shortages in South Africa and the rest of the world, but with artificial intelligence, do we look at what can robots not replace? For example, you can't get a scheduled drug dispense from a vending machine, so you cannot replace a pharmacist. Is it the performing arts, because you can't replace an actor or a musician, or a dancer on stage? So what is it that we tell our children to study that will ensure that they are employable in the future?
So I think there is a perception that AI the intelligence is going to replace jobs. And I don't think it necessarily means there are less jobs. I just think it means there are different types of jobs. So, for instance, when we now get a campaign to go and source, if somebody says, come in, we need 100 grads, it's no longer going to take us 6 weeks or 4 weeks because we're not going through 1,000 CVs. We have a system that's doing that for us. But we now are running campaigns. So we still have a lot of people in the office, but they're just doing different stuff. Now it's about attraction. It's about how do I reach the kid at Mangosuthu Tech that nobody knows anything about, or the kid that may not necessarily have a mobile phone, or the kid. So the jobs are still going to be there, but it's just going to be different types of jobs. And that's what we need to get our head around, I guess.
100%. 16 minutes before noon. Let's take a break. Give us a call if you want to ask any questions of Zanele, who of course is from Transcend Talent Management, 011-883-0702. We're talking artificial intelligence and its impact on the human capital market. Put simply, what does it do to traditional recruiting? The possibilities are to be embraced, not to be feared. In Cape Town, 021-446-0566.
702 and Cape Talk. World of Work.
12 minutes before noon, we're hanging out with Zanele Lufuno, who is the Managing Director of Transcend Talent Management. And we're working through understanding what AI means in terms of just changing the rules of the game. You said something that I want you to reflect on a little bit more for me. I really like this idea that if we embrace and obviously work with AI in a way that can enhance what happens in the job, that one of the things that we can enable is better employee experience, like also identifying potential.
Yeah, absolutely. And better, so it's better candidate experience, it's better employee experience. So all the from the time that you're in a recruitment process, think about it. Today, it's all converged. I bank at FNB or Nedbank or Standard Bank or Capitec or I don't know. But I'm going to interview for a job there. If I have a bad experience, you best believe I'm canceling my bank account, right? So it's all about that experience. And so I think that that when we start to use AI, it takes out that human factor of I got to an interview, or my CV is sitting in front of Eusebius, who maybe is having a bad day. And doesn't consider me for a job that I really, really am good for. Maybe Eusebius is going through something and go for an interview somewhere and I don't get feedback. Sure. Mm. And all up until the point where we start to talk about things like potential. So AI, I mean, there's some phenomenal assessment tools out there. Some of them are involved gaming. Mm. Some of them, and they're using different pillars of science and they're looking at different ways to look at things. So an organization can now start to say, I've got a massive bursary scheme. What kind of skills and talents do I need to bring into my business? And when I identify a group of people, I can then test them and I can do interest testing if they're young to say, you know, this is what you should be studying. Actually, so-and-so's got the potential to go into robotics. Mm. And let's encourage them and let's fund them to go into that. So also when you look at black people as they enter more and more into leadership positions in the corporate world, you can then start to say, who are my high performers? And you can start to say, where are the gaps? What does this person have the potential to do? And then you can start to really bring in meaningful interventions as opposed to just sending everybody in an MBA.
They still do that?
You'd be surprised. Apparently, a lot of listed organizations, I've been to a few, they still do. They go around and they manually say, who are your high performers? And it's like the manager really likes me and they really like that person. Sure. And they're like, these are my high performers. If you can apply science to that, and it doesn't mean that you always have to take the top people, but you can take people that
because
have
you've got
got
a tool
the
with
potential.
Better predictive
exactly,
functionality.
The predictive capability. Yeah. And you can take people with the potential. Mm. And so then you can start to see black people filling in the gaps where they need to so that we can start to move up in terms of corporate South Africa as well.
Cadell, good morning.
Morning. Hi, Eusebius. How's it?
Hi.
The AI and robotics is going to absolutely change the future in many ways. Many, many jobs are going to be lost, I believe. The Swedish government and Finnish governments are all doing social experiments to see what the effects are going to be on jobs and people. And one of the things that they've been doing is to give a basic income grant to see what people do. No restrictions on how you want to live. And I think it does open the doors for many other jobs in the future. But anything that is repetitive, including doctors, law, accounting, will not be required because it's all done by systems, processes, and have finite. There is opportunities, and I do believe that governments are going to have to change the tax structures of these big companies. So if one AI robotic system comes in place and it replaces 10 jobs, then that company must be charged or taxed as if it were 10 employees. And then a social grant system has to be put in place because if you are not highly skilled, there's going to be absolutely no place, there will be no jobs for you because the AI and robotics is just getting so good. And the only reason it hasn't taken off in such a grand way is the computers are not fast enough yet.
Interesting set of thoughts, Goodell. My understanding, and this is not my area of expertise, I often enjoy learning from my colleague Aki Anastasiou, who goes to conferences where the experts particularly talk about AI's impact on how the world of work is evolving all the time, is that as much as we're all trying to predict what the net effect on employment will be, I think if we're all honest, there probably is a certain amount of known unknowns here. There will be new jobs generated. Someone's got to do the jobs that are related to these machines being operated, manufactured, etc., etc. Some jobs might be displaced. Some jobs won't result in complete displacement, but a reskilling of what you previously did.
I absolutely agree, and let's not discount entrepreneurs. You know, we talk about in South Africa, we're saying there are no new jobs, and we're saying, what are the interventions? And we talk about entrepreneurship. The knowledge economy is all about talented individuals that are going to come up with creative solutions, products and ideas and services that are going to change the world. So in absolute agreement with you. We don't know what the impact is going to be. What we do know that it's forever evolving. It's going to be different, and we just need to have the agility to kind of flow with it.
Mahala, good morning.
Hello there, YouTubers. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to go back to a point that Carla raised a little earlier, and maybe it's kind of related to what has just been spoken of now. But the whole idea that what is it that I use as a parent, as a reference point, in guiding a young one of today as to what is ideal for them to study. So I feel like that question wasn't really answered, and perhaps your speaker, if they will, please could go back a little to it. But what it also does to me, it raises a secondary question, because we often ask this question on the premise that we educate so someone can get a job. So the related question I think that it forces us to look at is, what is the purpose of education? Is the purpose of education to ensure that someone gets a job? Those are the 2 points I wanted to raise.
Huge questions. 2 minutes to solve the world's problems in education. Education philosophy, and then what people should study. And it's so hard because part of what we are learning from the AI experience is that that question itself is a moving target. Many of the subjects being studied today, including, ironically enough, in areas like information systems and comp sci, may well be obsolete in 5 years' time.
It's an absolutely difficult one. I am the mother of a teenager, and I always used to focus on what does my son want to be when he grows up. Are you sure? Have you decided yet? Do you want to be a lawyer? And given that I'm in this talent space, I've now shifted. I am trying to get him into a space of identifying purpose and meaning out of life. I'm shifted into a space where I'm going to send him for an assessment so he can gauge what his interests are. Mm. So there is, I don't know if there's an answer. The world is changing. The world is shifting. So I don't know if there's an answer. An answer today could be totally different in 6 months' time.
That's a very interesting approach, particularly as a mom. I'm going to ask you this, and we just have 30 seconds left. Maybe we can start with this in a future conversation. Are you comfortable as a talent expert that as a mom who's a talent expert, that your son will be able one day, or daughter, or whoever, to monetize purpose, so that if you just focus on that, then you mustn't have too much anxiety about how that will translate into the world of work?
Yes, this is my me and my mom hat. It's an absolutely difficult hat for me to wear, but it's actually squarely where I have landed, because I'm in the world of work. I'm in it every single day. So there's some very basic things I can say to him. Everybody's looking for data scientists, data analytics, robotics. These are the kind of new jobs that we're seeing. And I would always say to him, go do some kind of pre-assessment and some kind of testing to see what you're better suited to before you pick a particular stream, which is something we probably didn't do before. You kind of said, go do this. So in the broader scheme of things, I would say this is what we tend to be recruiting a lot of. But I've shifted to a place where I'm saying, what is your joy? What is your happiness? What is your sense of purpose? What are you excited about? Right? And then I will go the assessment route. So you tap that into AI, and you see how you can find a way to link the purpose piece with what the interest piece or the AI piece says around what he should be doing.
Sipho says on Twitter, love Sanella's voice and her insights. I agree with you. So do I. She's incredibly rigorous, despite the fact that she's on her way to having her aura checked.
I absolutely am.
True story.
It's not being checked.